ॐ नमो भगवते वसुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वसुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वसुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयामुदीरयेत्। नष्टप्रयेष्वबाधृषु नित्यं भागवतसेवया भगवत्युत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। यं प्राव्रजन्तमनुपेतमपेतकृत्यं द्वैपायनाविरहकातराजुहव पुत्रेति तन्मयतयो तरवो विनेदुस् तं सर्वभूतहृदयं मुनिमानतोऽस्मि। वैरिदिं श्रीमद्भागवतं केन्तु 6 Chapter 18, Diti vows to kill King Indra. Text number 74. Aradhanam Bhagavata Iha Mana Nirashisha Ye Tu Nechanti Api param te svartha kushala smrita. Aradhanam bhagavata. Aradhanam bhagavata. Ihamana nirashisha yatu nechatyapi param yatu nechantyapi param tesvartha kushalak smrita Tesma svartha kushalak smrita aradhanam bhagavata ihamana nirashisha yatu nechantyapi param tesvartha kushalak smrita aradhanam bhagavata ihamana nirashisha yatu nechantyapi param tesvartha kushala smrita. Next please. Aradhanam bhagavata Mataji? Aradhanam bhagavata Aradhanam, the worship, Bhagavataha, of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Ihamanaha, being interested in, Nirashisha, without material desires, those who, to, indeed, Naichanti, do not desire, Api, even, Param, liberation, Te, they, Svartha, in their own interest, Kushalaha, expert, Smritaha, are considered. Translation. Although those who are interested only in worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead do not desire anything material from the Lord and do not even want liberation, Lord Krishna fulfills all their desires. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada ki. When Dhruva Maharaj saw Lord Vishnu, he declined to take any benediction from him, for he was fully satisfied by seeing the Lord. Nonetheless, the Lord is so kind that because Dhruva Maharaja in the beginning had desired a kingdom greater than his father's, he was promoted to Dhruva Loka, the best planet in the universe. Therefore, in the Shastra, it is said, Akamak sarvakamava mokshakamu udaradih tivrena bhakti yogina yajeta purusham param. A person who has broader intelligence, whether he is full of material desires, free from all material desires, or desiring liberation, must by all means worship the Supreme Whole, the Personality of Godhead. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 3, Verse 10. One should engage in full devotional service, then even though he has no desires, whatever desires he previously had can all be fulfilled simply by his worship of the Lord. The actual devotee does not desire even liberation, anya bilashita shunyam. The Lord, however, fulfills the desire of the devotee by awarding him opulence that will never be destroyed. A karmi's opulence is destroyed, but the opulence of a devotee is never destroyed. A devotee becomes more and more opulent as he increases his devotional service to the Lord. Śrīla Prabhupāda ki jai. Arādhanam bhagavatā ihamāna nirāśiśāḥ yetu nicchantyapi param te svartā kuśalāḥ smṛtāḥ. Although those who are interested only in worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead do not desire anything material from the Lord and do not even want liberation, Lord Krishna fulfills all their desires. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sarasvati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyeva Cha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nitananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare Ajanulambita Bhujoka Nakavadatu Sankirtanai Kapitaro Kamalaya Taksha Vishwam Barodvija Varoyu Gadharma Palo Vandeya Jagat Priyakaro Karuna Avataru Yontah Pravishya Mamavacham Imam Prasuptam Sanjeevaya Takila Shakti Darak Svadamna Anyamscha Hasta Charana Shravanatva Agadim Pranannamo Bhagavate Purushaya Tubhyam. Hare Krishna. What time am I supposed to finish the class? 9. It's a great honor for me to speak in front of all of you, devotees of this Sri Sri Radharas Bihari Mandir. These deities are the most dear to the heart of Srila Prabhupada, and this temple project was perhaps the dearest project to Srila Prabhupada and his heart, and it's a great honor for me to speak here. And I will try to speak a few words in appreciation of this beautiful point of Srimad Bhagavatam. Here King Indra says a very interesting point. He says, Te svartha kushalam smritam. Those people who do not desire anything in return for their devotional service, they are sva artha kushalam. They are the most expert in their own, in fulfilling their own interests. It's a very beautiful point, a bit paradoxical, you may say, but it's a beautiful point which is not so easily understood by the normal logic, by the people who are trying to employ normal logic. Normal logic tells us very strongly, unless you take care of your own desires, unless you take care of your own interests, you will be nowhere. If you don't think about your own desires, fulfilling your desires, you will be nobody in this world. You will not be happy, you will not fulfill your desires. But here, King Indra says, Sva artha kushalah smritah. Those people who do not take care of their own desires and just worship the Lord for the sake of worshiping the Lord, for the sake of serving the Lord, they are the most clever ones. Sva artha kushalam. They are most experts because they know what is the best interest of the living entity. And we will speak a little bit about this later, but first I wanted to speak the general context of this verse, because it's very important. The sixth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, this is the central canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, and the general topic which you can see very clearly in all the stories of the sixth canto is the amazing purifying power of devotional service. Devotional service does not depend on anything. Devotional service does not depend on your birth in any family. You may be born in the family of a demon, like Vritrasura. Vritrasura was a demon. Still, devotional service was prominent in his heart, and his heart was ultimately pure. He was not a demon. He was the king of the demons. He was the foremost of the demons. Still, he was a devotee. And Ajamil, we know the story of Ajamil. He created a heaps of sinful activities. And just once chanting Lord's name, he was purified from this. So devotional service does not depend on your previous activities. Devotional service does not depend on your birth. Devotional service does not even depend on your intent. Oftentimes, we say that for devotional service, the intent, the intention, the motive with which you perform your devotional service is important. But in this particular story about Diti, she was performing devotional service with the desire to kill Indra and to kill all his brothers. It's not a very pure motive, to say the least. You know, she was very revengeful. She wanted to get Indra for him killing her dear sons, which were so dear to her heart. And she wanted to kill them. And even Kashyapa Muni, when he heard this desire of his wife, he was horrified. He says, you know, women, they look so innocent. They're so nice and they smile and they're so gentle. But when it comes to fulfill their desires, they can become really cruel. Kashyapa Muni, he was shocked when he heard this. Please tell me how, you know, he said to her, oh, my dear wife, you are so pleasing to me, I am very pleased with you, please ask me any benediction. And she said, yes, help me to kill Indra, one of your sons, and help me to kill, you know, other sons of my sister. Please help me to kill my nephews. I tell you, it's not a very pure desire. But what happens, we see in this story that even though her original intent was not pure, she was purified by the fact of performing devotional service. So even though the intention was not good, the motive was not good, she was still ultimately purified. So that's, again, as I said, is the main subject matter of the sixth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. For us to understand that we don't have to do anything else. Sometimes people think that, you know, to achieve my goals or desires or whatever, I have to do mystic yoga. I have to go to Himalayas and sit in a cave with the snakes and scorpions. Now, sometimes people think that they should do some, you know, ritualistic activity, put some kavacha here and put some, you know, yantra somewhere in a home, or put some, you know, special kind of Navagraha ring in their finger, or have some special emerald to strengthen their mercury, or to do some other things, or to chant some special mantras. The sixth canto is there to give us this understanding: you don't have to do anything else. In fact, when you do something else, your devotional service becomes less powerful, and it's less likely to fulfill all your desires. You go to astrologer and you think it's innocent. Okay, I'll chant Hare Krishna. But together with Hare Krishna, I'll chant some other mantras, special mantras, which astrologer will give me. And I put a little ring, you know, from iron, so that my Shani would be very happy. As if Shani cares about your rings. You know, it's a very strange idea in general. But this is the idea which is actually very detrimental to devotional service and to the ultimate goal. Therefore, Shukadev Goswami here says, or Indra here says, that they are Svartha Kushalam, those who are expert, those who have some brain, those who understand how to fulfill their own interest, they don't do this. They just serve the Lord. They don't do all these strange things. You know, those who are neophytes, those who are not very kushalam, not very expert, they may do this. But ultimately, svartha kushalam means, I only worship the Supreme Lord. And here, it's really funny, because who is speaking this? The verse is spoken by Lord Indra himself. And Lord Indra is not famous for being a pure devotee of the Lord. He has all kinds of desires. And he does all kinds of crazy things to fulfill his desires. It's really interesting. It's ironic. You know, to drive this point back home to our mind, this verse is spoken by Lord Indra, who is in his bright moment, in his experience, spoken from his experience, says this, but in his real life, he does everything opposite. We know in his real life, to fulfill his desires, he is ready to do anything. He's a devotee of some sort, perhaps of the same sort as we are. He has many desires. He's sarvakam. He wants to rule the heavenly planets, and as soon as somebody does something which may be seen, remotely seen, as something which would be, threat to his supremacy over heavenly planets, Indra becomes really worried. He sends apsaras to deviate somebody, or he comes himself, and he does so many strange things. Indra is a devotee, but he's not a, how shall I say it? He's not a very pure example we should follow. He kills Vishwarup. Poor Vishwarup, he asked, Vishwarup, you please become my guru. And then when Vishwarup does something little which he doesn't like, he kills him. It's not a very exemplary disciple, he says, you are my Guru Maharaj. And then, he does something wrong, killing him. And he gets himself always in trouble because of this. He himself says this, I'm such a fool. All the time he says, I'm a fool. But then when the next thing comes, he again becomes a fool. He does this maha foolishness when he tries to kill Krishna and all the inhabitants of Vrindavan. We know the story with Govardhan Hill. He wanted to kill Krishna. He wanted to kill all the cows. He wanted to kill everyone in Vrindavan by inundating it. It took him long 7 days to understand that he is doing something wrong. Krishna, a little boy, 7 years old boy, ran to Govardhan Hill, picks it up very easily, keeps it on a finger, and Indra still didn't understand the point. He still wants to do it. 7 days, for 7 days and seven nights, he's pouring the rains, and then it comes to him, maybe I'm doing something wrong. And then he realizes, oh my goodness, what have I done? That's Krishna. I was praying to him at the shore of the milk ocean, please come down. But then when he came down, I want to kill him. I was praying to him to protect me from all the enemies. He came, and now here I am, trying to kill him, my best protector. So he comes to Krishna, he begs forgiveness. Krishna says, yes, 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 you're forgiven. Please don't do it again. And Indra says, no, never. And then when the next chance comes, he again does the same thing. Krishna comes with his wife, and Krishna asks him, Parijat tree. There are so many trees. And Indra says, no way. No way. It's a special tree. It's my tree. It's not your tree. I will never give it to you. And he launches the war with Krishna, even though he knows everything. And when the war is over, he again begs forgiveness. Please forgive me. And Krishna says, yes, yes, you are forgiven. Don't do it anymore. But for sure he will do it again. This is the nature of material desires. This is the material desires they are ranging in our heart. And in this story, he does even something much more abominable. As I said, he's so insecure because of his immense material desires. He's so insecure when he feels that somebody is of a little threat to him. He immediately takes action. He finds out Diti is doing some severe austerities to kill me. And he is so worried, he becomes a servant of deity. He comes and he serves her with only one desire, to kill the baby in the womb of deity. You know, it's called, how it's called when you kill baby in the womb? It's called abortion. You know, once I heard a lecture, and Srila Radhanath Maharaj said, Indra is an expert abortionist. You know, he's doing, in this story, he's doing a very special kind of abortion for his own aunt. He goes inside her womb and cuts the baby into pieces. And to his great surprise, when he cut the baby into 7 pieces, everyone became a little baby. And he cuts every 7 babies into 7 pieces again. So, here we can see that Lord Indra is not very pure in his desires, because he has pride. He has a very dangerous position being the king of heaven, and when we have opulence, when we have facilities for enjoyment, it's very dangerous. Queen Kunti says, Janmaishwarya Shruta Shribira Damanam Madah Puman Naivarhatya Bidhatum Vai Tvama Kinchina Gochara. If you have Janma, high birth, Aishwarya, opulence or power, Shruta, very learned, Shribhi, you're very beautiful, it's very difficult. Your life becomes very difficult. This is what we all want. Does anyone here not want some opulence? Everyone wants. Even brahmacharis wants. Little opulence. Maybe not much. Little, you know, like I was told in Vrindavan. It was long before, so I don't know how it is now. But before, in Vrindavan, all the brahmacharis were from villages. They were simple boys, simple village boys. And never in their life they would sleep on the mat. They would only sleep on the floor. So the brahmacharis, as soon as they would become brahmachari in this opulent angrezi mandir in Vrindavan, they would put many, many mats. And, you know, the more mats they are, the better they are off, you know. It was their conception of opulence. So what I want to say is that in this material world, everyone has some material desires. Indra is not an exception, but the difficulties of Indra's position, why these desires are again coming up in his heart, because he has so much possibilities, so much opportunities, advantages to enjoy these material desires. And therefore he again and again forgets who he is. I am the king of heaven. I am sitting on this throne. Everyone is supposed to worship me. You know, and he again and again forgets it. His guru Brihaspati comes and he just neglects him. Oh, I am the king of heaven. But here he says a very interesting thing. Here, by taking part in this amazing story, he says that I wanted to kill my brother in your womb, my dear deity, my dear auntie. I wanted to kill my own brother, but I couldn't do this. Why? Now I realized why. Because you were engaged in devotional service. Because of the power of your devotional service, you became so pure, and the child in your womb became so pure that I can't do anything to him. He's cutting the child in 7 pieces, and everyone is just alive. He's cutting again in 7 pieces, and everyone is alive. And he finally says, okay, dear brothers, and they're so innocent, and they're asking, Indra, why are you doing this to us? What did we do wrong to you? We love you. We want to be your servants. We want to serve you. And he says, oh, you want to serve me? Okay, that's fine. If you don't want to kill me, that's okay. Then come out. You know, and he does this. It's a very funny story. Diti, she just sleeps a little bit. She was tired because performing austerities. She was not eating properly and she was really tired and she basically collapsed. She was sleeping even during the sunset, which is not supposed to be done. During the sunset, nobody should sleep. So she was sleeping there and Indra goes into her womb and tries to do this abortion, but it doesn't work. You know, then he takes all these babies, 49 babies, 49 brothers of his, outside of her womb, and she wakes up. And she sees this scene. She says, Indra, who is that with you? Who is this 49 boys? And he says, this is your sons. She says, how come 49? You know, she says, oh, well, I tried to kill them. It didn't work. And he says, it didn't work. Why didn't work? Because you were purified by devotional service. And because you were purified and your sons were purified, I couldn't do anything. I couldn't create any harm to them. So, therefore, this is the point. Therefore, he says here that the only one really knows his own interest is the person who serves the Lord without any ulterior desires. Now, the very important question comes to our mind. How to get rid of desires? Let's say we have some desires. We may not know about our desires, but it's practically impossible to get rid of the desires. Like, a couple of days back in Vada Farm, I was giving a lecture to counselors from Chaupati Temple, and I was speaking to them about anarthas, how to purify the heart from anarthas. And one old devotee came to me. He was rather old. And I was speaking about kama, krodha, lobha, mada, matsarya. I was speaking about these things. And quite a few young people came to me and said, oh, how to get rid of lust? Lust is such a difficult thing, you know. And everyone has this problem, how to get rid of lust. And this old devotee, he listens to this and he nods his head. And then he says, you know, is it possible that some anarthas are going out from the heart on their own with the age? No, it's not. Age is not a purificatory process. Age itself is not. There is the famous story about Akbar and Birbal. That once Birbal said to Akbar that desires, they never leave the person. Your body may become old and useless, but desires are still useful in your heart. Desires are still ranging. Maybe there is no hormones in your blood, but in your mind the desires are the same because mind never becomes old. Mind is the same. It's more frustrating because your body cannot fulfill the desires, but the mind still desiring. So Birbal said, no, desires never go away. And Akbar said, no, I don't believe you. Birbal said to him, I'll show you how it works. He said, take your daughter and we'll go. And they went to a home of one dying man. He was very old. And they took a young, beautiful daughter of Emperor Akbar. And they entered the home. And this dying man, you know, first thing which he did, he looked lustfully on this young lady. And Birbal said, did you see whom he looked? You're coming, you're his emperor, he can't care less about you, but he is looking at this young lady. So the question is, very important question for us to understand, what to do with the desires? We cannot purify our heart from the desires on our own strengths. It's not possible. They will not go away with the age. Everything else goes away with the age, but desires are still there. So what to do? The only thing which we should do, and which probably Indra doesn't do, that's why desires don't leave him, is to pray to the Lord. Please help me to purify my heart from the desires. We have to really clearly understand, we have to be very clear about this. Desires will not make us happy. Even if we fulfill all our desires, then new desires will come, and then new desires will come. Lord Indra, in the next verse, he says, the intelligent man never asks Krishna to fulfill his desires. If one is intelligent, if one is a devotee, he doesn't ask Krishna to fulfill his desires. He asks Krishna, if he feels that there are some desires in my heart, please purify my heart from these desires. And then if Krishna is merciful, and if our prayer is sincere, Krishna will help us to purify our heart from the desires. Because sometimes we pray to Krishna, Krishna, please purify my heart from the desires, but not now. There is a beautiful story about one Christian saint, Saint Augustine. He is writing it himself in his book. He says, when I was a young man, I was praying to the Lord. My dear Lord, please purify my heart from lust. I have such a strong lust. Please purify my heart from lust. But then I would add, but not now. Wait a little bit. I'm not ready yet. So sometimes we pray to the Lord, please purify, but our prayer is not sincere. But if we understand that fulfillment of desires will not make us happy. No way. So many people fulfilled their desires. They didn't become happy. Never. It doesn't work. In fact, it's very interesting. In Nyaya Sutra, Gautam Rishi writes, he lists the different causes of suffering. He says, Janma is cause of suffering, our birth is suffering, death is cause of suffering. And then he says, Dukkha is a cause of suffering. And then he says, Sukha, happiness, is also cause of suffering. Because even if you are happy, what happens when you are happy? Let's say you are very happy, your situation is completely perfect, and you have near and dear ones, and you have all the opulence. Is it pure happiness? No, it's a cause of suffering, because you get attached to this position. Exactly what happened with Indra. He is there in the heavenly planets, everything is so nice, but he is not happy. He's worried, he's insecure. He's doing all kinds of sinful activities to protect his position as a king of heaven. And it's dukkha. You know, it's happiness. What is happiness? Happiness is little spice to your suffering. Like, you know, in India, people, they like spices. In Russia, they don't like spices because their life is just simple suffering, no happiness. Here, if you give people plain food, they just cannot eat it. There is no taste in it. So in the same way, you know, happiness is not happiness. Happiness is not bliss. You know, you fulfill all your desires, so what? You get attached to this, you get attached to this, and sooner or later you will be deprived of this position of so-called happiness in the material world. So we have to be very clear. What do we want? We want to serve the Lord. And if we are really expert in fulfilling our desires, we serve the Lord without any ulterior motives. We just serve to Him, which is sometimes difficult. But we can see in the example of great devotees how they pray to the Lord. They never pray to the Lord, give something to me. Never pray. Srila Prabhupada, when he came to America, you know, he was in this ship, in Jaladuta cargo ship. And in the beginning, nobody even was there in the harbor to meet with him. And he didn't know anything about America. So what he's praying to the Lord, he doesn't pray, please send somebody who will meet me in the harbor. He doesn't pray, please give me some money. He prays, make my words pure. Give my words the power to penetrate their heart, which is covered by the modes of ignorance and passion. Make me the instrument in your hands so that I would be able to give this very amazing signs of devotional service, of pure devotional service to all these strange people who live in this country. That's what his prayer. Make me serve as you like. He doesn't say, make my health stronger. He just underwent heart attack in Jaladuta. But he doesn't say, make me stronger. He say only one thing. Make me dance as you want. Make me the instrument of your desires. I don't want anything on my own. Make me somebody who will fulfill your desires. And Krishna fulfilled all his desires. Prabhupada, when he is saying this, that Krishna fulfills all your desires, even if you don't want all your previous desires. Even if you don't have these desires anymore, Krishna still fulfills them. Mm-hmm. Prabhupada said here in Bombay that, you know, Krishna gave me so much. I was not asking him anything, but he gave me so much I cannot even handle. He used to say that Krishna has 10 hands. That was his father saying. Krishna has 10 hands. And if he wants to snatch something from you, what you with your 2 hands can do? Can you keep something? No, Krishna has 10 hands. He will take it away. And Krishna has 10 hands, and if he wants you to give something with these 10 hands, you will not be able to hold it with your 2 hands. Because he will give you so much. You know, another story in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam is Sudama Vipra story. When Sudama Vipra came to Krishna, and he didn't even ask him. He couldn't move his tongue to ask Krishna. He was just there, he gave him some rice. You know, he was shy to give the rice. Krishna snatched some rice from him, and Krishna thought, I will give him opulences more than Indra. Even though he doesn't ask. So, and therefore, and this very important point here in Indra's speech to Mother Diti, Tesvarta Kushalah Smritah, those people who just worship the Lord, who just want to fulfill the desire of the Lord and don't want to fulfill their own desires, their desires will be fulfilled automatically, because if the Lord is happy, we will be happy. If the Lord is not happy, we will not be happy. So that's the art of fulfilling one's own desire. In the 7th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Prahlad Maharaj will say the same thing. He say, you will be suffering in this world until the point you try to become happy. The moment you stop trying to become happy, you will become happy. When you try to become happy, you will never become happy. But the very moment you stop trying to become happy, you will become happy. And that's the practical proof. The practical, you know, everyone knows this. I was very unhappy. Before I became a devotee, I was doing my career, I was doing PhD, everything was nice, I was so miserable. I became a devotee and KGB came to me and everything went to hell and I became so happy. And nobody could understand, what's wrong with you? All my relatives, they asked me this question, are you crazy? You're not supposed to be happy. Why are you so happy? I said, I don't know why I'm so happy. I'm happy. that's a fact. I don't know why, but I am. That's a fact. And therefore, Lord Indra says, only those who know the art of pure devotional service, they know how to serve their own interests. Because if we serve the interest of God, all our interests and more will be automatically fulfilled. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki. I still have few minutes. Is there any question? Yes. Yes. Oh, okay. Okay.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you so much for a detailed describing this Kusala Smata. Very nicely explained. But one thing you explained, the devotional service does not depend upon your intention. The Lord yes. says that je jathamang prapadyante tang tathaiva bhajami ham. Even in this case, we see though Diti, she did not intend to get pure devotional service, or she did not desire to save Indra. But Kasyapa, he wanted that if you will perfectly perform this vrata, then your child will become Indra's enemy.
And if you break Indra's follower.
Yeah. Indra's enemy. And if he will break this vrata, then the child will become Indra's friend.
Follower.
Yeah. So the intention is there. So how we can
see Kasyapa Muni tricked Diti. He said to her, yeah, do devotional service. Because he knew what's going to happen. That by the course of devotional service, she will be purified. You know, this is again, if you sincerely perform devotional service, even though you may have some material desires, you will be purified. And the example is there in the fourth canto. Srila Prabhupada cites this example of Dhruva Maharaj. He wanted kingdom. But when he achieved the stage of pure devotional service, no desires were there. So, the desires, Diti had these desires, but Kasyapa Muni wanted her to be purified from these desires. And, you know, the proof that she was purified from these desires, first of all, the first proof was that all her sons were not killed by Indra. They were protected by the power of her devotional service. Even though Indra kind of, you know, really cut them like a cabbage, you know. And the second proof was that, you know, when all the sons said, we are followers of Indra and we want to serve Indra, Diti became very happy. So this desire, this revenge was not there in her heart. Why? Because she was doing this service and the heart was purified. She didn't want anymore that her son would kill Indra. So therefore it is said akama sarva kama va moksha kama udara dihti vrena bhakti yogena yajete purusham param. Whether you have all desires or you don't have any desires, just serve the Lord, because tivrena bhakti yogena, by the power of devotional service, you will be purified. And by the way, all your desires will be fulfilled.
But that sloka we mentioned, the udaradhi means the broad intelligent person. The practitioner may not be broad intelligent, but those who is guiding him, in the case of Dhruva Maharaj, Narada wanted to Dhruva. He wants to.
You may not be udaradhih sufficiently to start the devotional service, but if somebody is of some position of respect tells you this and you do this, then you also become udaradhi. Yes. Broad minded. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Hare Krishna Guruji. Prabhuji, my question is, I will tell one two sins. In example, you said, na Prabhuji, Indra Dev has many desires, and he did many foolish things. Still, Lord is keeping the mercy on him and giving support always. And in Mahabharata, Pandavas did many foolish things, and still Lord given support to them and mercy also. And there is another example in Ramayana. Hanumanji did lot of devotional service to Lord Ramchandra, and always chanted the name of Lord. Still Lord is not so much care to Hanumanji. So why this is difference between three things?
Say it again, the last point. What? Hanumanji what?
Hanumanji did many, so much, lot of devotional service to Lord Ramchandra. And there is another example, Indradev is not doing so much, pure devotional service, you said earlier in lecture. So why this is difference?
I don't see the difference. What is the difference? Did Ramachandra not support Hanuman? What was the point?
Caring, Lord given the support to Pandavas in Mahabharata. Still they did many foolish things. And in this story also, Indradev did many foolish things and
I understood.
Demonic characteristics.
What is the difference with Hanuman?
So why Lord giving the different in output to another different devotees as per their devotional service?
You know, see, it is said in the first verse of Srimad Bhagavatam that Krishna is Swarat. God is Swarat. He is independent. Swarajyate. He is totally independent on anything. You know, the other demigods, they are very predictable. If you pray to them, they are obliged to give you benediction. But with Krishna, it's not so. He sometimes may give you benediction, sometimes may not give you benediction. Sometimes he can bring you suffering more. Pandavas were suffering a lot. Even though Krishna was always with them, but they were still suffering. So, you know, Lord is totally independent, and therefore he does what he likes and what he sees the best for this particular devotee. For Indra, he knows the best is just to punish him every now and then, but then also fulfill his desires, and, you know, somehow or other, it's the best remedy for Indra. For Pandavas, it's different. They're pure devotees, therefore Krishna gives them so many difficult situations, but at the same time, give them opportunity to overcome all these situations and saves them. You know, he is not predictable, and even when a person becomes free from the law of karma, he also, free from the material desires, he also becomes unpredictable. You know, others are predictable. It's very easy to calculate what we will do. Because we have material desires, we are bound, we are conditioned. This is what conditioning means. But when somebody is unconditioned, he doesn't know what he will do the next moment. It's a completely different way of functioning. His consciousness, his heart is functioning differently. There is a little story about Lord Buddha. He was, you know, one astrologer from Benares. He noticed some footprints in the sand. And according to the footprints, he knew the signs of all the, you know, signs on the soles of the feet. And he thought, it must be the king of the world. These footprints must belong to the king of the world, but how come this king of the world is going there in a lonely shore of a river, barefoot? He couldn't understand. Ultimately, he came to Lord Buddha, and he said, please, according to my books and my science of astrology and this science, you're supposed to be the king of the world. How come you're sitting here in the robes of a monk? Under the tree, alone. Are you a king of the world or what? If you are not, then I will pack all my books and throw them in the river because they don't work. And Lord Buddha said, no, don't throw your books in the river. They will work for practically everyone, but they will not work for me because I am free. In the same way, God, He's extremely free. If an ordinary living entity can become completely free and unpredictable, you can't just, you know, he does what he feels the best, and we can only be sure that whatever he does is for the good. This much we should be sure. Whatever he does, even though it may appear something inauspicious, it's for the good. How it will manifest in our life? Nobody knows. So be happy with this statement and just accept whatever Krishna gives to you.
Thank you, Guruji. Hare Krishna.
And be grateful. Yes.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Maharaj. Maharaj, one devotee, like kind of coming to Krishna consciousness for around five, 6 years, he was getting some very chronic disease. Almost for 3-4 years he was struggling. He went to all different doctors and things like that. So there was one chance for him to go for 1 month kind of outside person who does some yogic practices, tantric, you know, things. He chants some different mantras and things like that. So then he was in dilemma, should we go for such kind of treatment, get cured and then serve Krishna, or it's like becomes a difficulty that he is depending on someone else than Krishna. And
in this case I would say that he should go to such a person, but ultimately depending on Krishna and completely giving himself to Krishna and saying that, Krishna, if you want me to be cured, please use this tantric as your instrument. And if you don't want me to be cured, I'm ready to accept this, you know better. Because we may use this, but ultimately we should depend on Krishna. So that's the thing, that our ultimate dependence, we should understand very clearly that everything depends on Krishna. Everything else is relative, but this dependence of Krishna should not be relative. It should be absolute. So, but we may use, like, you know, tantric may be a little questionable, but we go to normal doctors. We don't have to, you know, depend on Krishna if we can cure it by some other means, you know. But ultimately, our attitude should be, or our mood should be that you know, it's up to Krishna whether he wants me to be cured or not. That's it. Otherwise we go. Why not? Okay. Thank you very much. Śrīla Prabhupāda ki jaya.